My dear king, in the place where pure devotees live, following the rules and regulations, and thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that place, if one gets a chance to hear the constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. This verse is a very nice verse to start a festival of Krishna consciousness. It speaks about the effects of coming together in an association like this one and hearing about Krishna. This hearing process is compared with the river which comes and washes all impurities away. Some of you have seen the slideshow of the journey to Badrinath and have seen how Malaganga flows deep in a very strong current, and I think you can imagine that anything which is dirty, maybe the many villages who put their dirty water into Ganga, is effectively washed away. In the same way, when we come into the association of devotees who chant the glories of Krishna, our three kinds of impurities are washed away. That is, our fear, our strach, our lamentation, oh, this is wrong, oh, I have so many problems, and our illusion. I was talking today with one devotee. He said, I had so many things in my mind when I came here, but since I'm in these kirtans, in this association, so many impurities are just washed away and I don't know where they went. Ooh, and they're downstreams. This is the effect of such a transcendental festival. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse. The cultivation of Krishna consciousness is possible where great devotees live together and constantly engage in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In a holy place like Vrindavan or Goloka Dham, there are many devotees constantly engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord. If one gets the chance to hear from pure devotees in such a place, allowing the constant flow of the river of nectar to come from the mouths of pure devotees, then the cultivation of Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. So this evening, the evening before Lord Nityananda's Divine Appearance Day, I want to talk a little bit about Sadhu Sangha, what happens in the association of devotees, and what sometimes also stops the effects so that they cannot manifest. I think it is very nice to begin our festival with this subject matter, because all we are going to have for the next 3 days is Sadhu Sangha, and it is of course nice if we can all dive into the ocean of Sadhu Sangha and really get the benefits from it. And I want to help all of us today by pointing out a few philosophical points about Sadhu Sangha, which will help us hopefully to make this festival a great success. I know that some of you are not accustomed to such great crowds, and they like every condition of the world become a little disturbed when something unusual happens in their lives. And I know that some of you are a little tired from making this long journey from places like Beodra, like our Bhutanini, who came all the way from Canada. I know that you might be exhausted, and therefore I think it is very good if we discuss this evening. How can we make this association amongst ourselves work? How can it become an unforgettable event? This festival will only be as good as you are willing to have actively Sadhu Sangha. If you are not willing to do this, you will be only an outsider to this festival. If you are in your mind trying to have real Sadhu Sangha, then you will become an insider, and it will be unforgettable and very nice. So, the first point of Sadhu Sangha is to find a sadhu. Sorry for being so simplistic. We have to find a sadhu to have association with. In the Bhagavatam, it is described that if we finally find a sadhu in the life, we should become very grateful and thankful. Oh my dear Lord, you have sent me a sadhu. Wonderful. And there is a verse which Uddhava says to Lord Krishna, which says, Naho padyantya pachitam kavayas savesha. He says, oh my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you. Even if they were endowed with a prolonged lifetime of Brahma, for you, my dear Lord, appear in two features, two aspects. Krishna comes in two aspects. Externally, that is from outside, as an acharya, and internally, that is from inside, as a super soul, to deliver the embodied living being by directing him how to come to you. So from outside the sadhu comes, knocking at our window, hey, wake up, don't dream, do the real things in your life. And from inside, the Lord comes as a super soul, as that silent voice which we so often have ignored, tells us the real thing. Hey, wake up. Do the real things in your life. So we should take, when we find such a Mahatma, such a great soul, we should look for his association. Yes. And we should ask for his causeless mercy. Because only if we get the mercy of a great soul can we give up our attachments to the unreal things, to the materialistic life. This is a festival to get mercy of great souls. But we should become very concentrated to find this mercy, because when we get it, we will be relieved from our attachments, which give us so much pain to make life so complicated. See, many people in this world, they think, I want to get the mercy of God. Who wants to get the mercy of God? Almost everyone. But how can we get the mercy of God? Where will we go? In which shop can we get it? Or maybe in a marketplace. Which marketplace? The Loy Bazaar? Yes, that means that Leela cannot accept. Where do we get the mercy of God? Have you ever thought about this? It is discussed by Jiva Goswami how to do this, and I feel we need to now concentrate very much. It's the evening and our mind is restless, but if you can get the mind to hear this secret, you will be enlivened. See, to get the mercy of God is a little difficult, because in order for the Lord to feel compassion, He almost would have to be someone like us who can understand our illusory sufferings. But the Lord is always in the transcendence. He is full with the highest ecstatic feelings in the exchange with His devotees. So it's very difficult for Him to understand our miseries. Just like now our little boy, his name is actually Nityananda. He was screaming, wah, wah. And it was not possible for us to understand why is he screaming. Because we don't think like little Nityananda. He may scream because of the rope there, or he may scream because he saw your head. It's not possible for us to understand Nityananda's logic. Little boy's Nityananda's logic, because he is in a different world. I think, Dita, you marked that when you saw the little boy and you were going like smiling. He lives in a different world. So in the same way, we live in a different world. We live in the material world. It's difficult for a transcendental entity to really understand, to really feel how we are feeling. This is expressed. Mercy is a kind of mental transformation which awakens when the misery of others touches the heart of a merciful soul. The merciful soul looks into the world and he sees, oh, there's some misery, there, there. And then he sees it and his mind goes through a transformation and he thinks, oh, this poor person, I really need to help him. The Supreme Lord is always the embodiment of the topmost transcendental rasika ecstasy. What a difference there is between him and the sinful living being. Just as the shining sun can never touch the darkness, similarly, the false misery that the living being is suffering from can never touch the heart of Sri Hari. That is impossible in all respects. So, the Lord cannot really come onto our platform of existence and cry the same tears which we cry and laugh to the same jokes where we laugh. The Lord is transcendental. This Nahajiva Goswami continues. Therefore, the only thing what remains to redeem the conditioned souls is the mercy of the great saint. Although the heart of such great souls are also not touched by the false misery of the material world. You see, the great soul also is not on our level. It's also not touched by this miseries which we ordinary souls experience. Still, just as the wakeful human being considers the suffering he went through in dreams to be false, he can still remember these miseries when he sees other people sleeping and dreaming and is eager to awaken them. See, a great soul knows, yes, these sufferings are the sufferings of a dreamer only. But he knows there was a time when he has dreamt the same dreams, when he has cried the same tears, when he felt the same miseries like all of us. He can understand by remembering, like you who were in the... I once saw a devotee, you know, we were driving on the street and there was someone walking out of the pub, out of the bar, and he was totally drunk or blue, as we say in German, aber blau. You know, and this devotee looked at me and he said, Sachinanda Swami, I remember 10 years ago I was so blue as the ocean. He could remember still this thing. You know, because he had dreamt the same dreams. So therefore, because the Lord is so transcendental and out of touch, so to say, or not touched with the material energy, but because the souls, the great souls, were in touch with the material energy, they can best understand us. And the Lord, knowing this, has given a very powerful electrical current, a great Shakti, in the heart of the great souls. That's Mahadevi Bhagavat Kripa. That means the great goddess of Krishna's mercy, of Bhagavan's mercy. He has given this into the hearts of the great souls, and when we can somehow get their pleasure, then this Shakti begins to come out of the hearts of the great souls and transform our life. I want to read to you. Jiva Goswami says, if ordinary gods and goddesses do not go anywhere without a vehicle, then would the crown jewel of all of the Lord's energies, Mahadevi Bhagavata Kripa, the great goddess of God's grace, go anywhere without vehicle? Rama goes somewhere, he comes riding on the swan. When Durga Devi comes, she comes riding on a tiger. When Ganesh comes, he comes riding on his carrier. And in this way, all of the great demigods, they only come with their carriers. So what is about the greatest goddess, the Lord's mercy, which can deliver us from the material world? How does she come into this world? She comes riding in the heart of the sadhus, of the great saints. And if we can somehow get their milosti, their mercy, then we can be delivered from material existence. The Adi Puran describes this. Krishna says, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. If you say I am Krishna's devotee, you are not really Krishna's devotee. Oh, what now? I thought we were Hare Krishna people. No, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. But he who says he is a devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. when you stand before the Lord, how will you introduce yourself? I am Krishna Das, a very special soul. I am extremely qualified to get your mercy. Don't forget me. No, the way the Lord becomes impressed by you is if you introduce yourself. I am the humble servant of Srila Prabhupada. I am the humble servant of Krishna Das Goswami. Then the Lord, oh yes, he has gotten my mercy through the vehicle, the heart of the devotee. So, when we have association with devotees, and now I don't mean only our spiritual master, but all the devotees who are proper and real devotees of the Lord, then there will be an effect. And we can see in our lives if we can feel this effect. It's just like when you are in the sun, there will be an effect. You will have light in the face, and you will feel a little warm maybe, and get a little tanning. So when you are in the association of sadhus, then there cannot be any longer darkness of material existence. Some of you have written to me and have said, oh, I'm a little afraid to come to this Nityananda Mahotsava, because I know I go now between the devotees, it's so difficult for me. I'm only in my own apartment, and now with so many, and then they will say, oh, how are you chanting rounds? And you look a little fat. What has changed in your life? And you know, why be so depressed? And so on. The devotees sometimes who are not, like stars on the horizon of the spiritual firmament, they feel afraid to come into the association of devotees. But give up this fear. If you are afraid of devotees, you have not learned the real fear. You should be afraid of material existence, because the association of devotees is dangerous for our material illusions. Especially it is dangerous for our false ego. Sadly dangerous. Here it, this verse, listen to this verse. It tells about the effects of associating with sadhus. Sadunang samachitanam sutarang matkritatmanam. When one is face to face with the sun, there is no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who is fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer be subject to material bondage. This is what we have talked about earlier. Sometimes when we come into the association of great devotees, our heart is not full with criticism, then we feel all of a sudden, oh, I have no problems any longer. It is, they are gone. Now you might say, why don't we always experience these effects in the association of devotees? There are two reasons. One reason is the devotees are only shadows of devotees. That is, parabhaktas, shadows of devotees. They have the external feature, but not the substance of a devotee. The love for Krishna, the surrender to Krishna. Or another reason why we don't feel the effects of sadhu sangha is because we ourselves are only shadows. We have not yet developed the right substance. And as a result, we make offenses against devotees. It is described that offensive persons whose internal vision has been too much affected by external materialistic activities cannot see Krishna. In the same way, a person whose vision is too materialistic, he can never see what is there in the devotee's heart. Please remember the first time someone showed you the altar. Maybe you have the same experience which I had. Someone said to me, look, there is Krishna on the altar. And I looked and I said, I see only flowers. I'm sorry. Huh? You remember? Many times I have seen this. I see only flowers. Where is Krishna? Flowers, flowers. Roses, Nelken, Weiße Nelken, Rote Nelken, Lila Nelken. But no Krishna. This is when you have a material vision. You cannot see spiritually. In the same way, a devotee who is looking with an external vision in the world, he won't be able to recognize the devotion at other devotee's heart, his speciality, his Krishna consciousness. And therefore, he cannot always feel the effect of becoming free from material illusions and material bondages. What should such a devotee do who has an external vision? There are three medicines for such a devotee. The dust of the feet of a devotee, the water that has washed the feet of a devotee, and the remnants of food left by a devotee are three very powerful substances. I was talking about this earlier, that this verse has to be taken, verbally. Get the dust from the feet of a devotee somehow. Drink the water which has washed his food and jump on the remnants of the foodstuffs and eat it. By this powerful substances, there is some hope. A few days ago we celebrated Ramanuja's appearance day. I remember just now a very nice little leela. Ramanujacharya, purest devotee, had just eaten some prasadam. So he went to the lake and washed his hands in the lake. Then some fishes came. They made their special fit in the fish internet, the information was broadcast, and they came and they ate this remnants of the food of Ramanujacharya. And then the servants of Ramanujacharya saw how all of a sudden the fishes were taking on their four-armed forms and going to Vaikuntha planets, because Ramanuja was Vaikuntha Bhakta, Lakshmi Narayana Bhakta. And yes, remnants of the food. You can't imagine how we were eating the remnants of the food of Srila Prabhupada as much as possible, and everything, did it. In old days, this was known as the very spiritual medicine. It's something like tuberculosis infection. When you have a tuberculosis patient and he coughs onto some bread and you eat it, you are guaranteed to get tuberculosis. In the same way, if you get the prasad from a pure devotee, then the transcendental affection is sure to get you, even if you are a sinner. Now I want to talk a little bit. Little thing is, I have so many informations, but time is not there. Why, a little while ago, one devotee was asking me, Sachinandan Swami, why do the scriptures glorify the association of devotees so much? Like, why can't I just read and chant alone in my little room and it will work? Why do I have to come to the association of devotees? Have you asked yourself this question also? Never. Like, isn't it better for spiritual life to go away from masses of people and just stay for yourself? This is the question. Now, Sanatana Goswami explains, when one discusses or meditates on Harikatha just on one's own, without the company of the saints, then fatigue, that is tiredness, will come to one's meditation, and the resulting lack of taste will cause feelings of hunger and thirst and so on. You know this, when you stay alone, Nitai Chandra is laughing, I think you feel some memory, and you try to read, it may go for a day or so, but the second day, oh, I'm so hungry. Yes, I'm glad. I'm so hungry, and I'm so thirsty, and I must go to the toilet, and I must sleep. Immediately the material energy comes. Havi also, although he's very transcendental. Thus, a human being will not be able to relish the mellows of bhakti. Thus, it is absolutely essential to associate with the devotees. In the company of the great devotees, bhakti, in the form of drinking the nectar of Bhagavad Katha, will automatically be accomplished. So, sometimes, people or devotees who observe the International Society for Krishna Consciousness say it's international for Krishna consciousness, but there's a society. Or some observers have said this community is a community of devotees. There are devotees, but where's the community? In other words, devotees inside and observers outside the movement have found out that we talk very much about Sangha and associating with each other, but somehow or other we have not always been successful to really create a feeling of unity and happiness amongst each other. Especially in these modern times, we often hear about quarrels amongst devotees, about misunderstandings amongst devotees, and about not feeling so happy with each other. Have you heard about this? Not now maybe, but this is sometimes in the air. So therefore let us learn how to associate proper. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there are three things in Vaishnava Seva. That's association, you should really talk with each other. Then conversation. That's a very interesting art. To really converse means to share deep feelings and then do service. But he says just being friendly is also Vaishnav Seva. So Vaishnav Seva means to associate with, to converse with, and to do service to devotees, but to also share friendliness. Jiva Goswami says Vaishnav association means you can two types. One is bodily service and one is spiritual service. Bodily service means you can give them Lakshmi, here, take this donation, 1 mark and 20. Or we should give them eatables, here, take some food. we should massage the feet. But this is called Parisharya Seva, but there is also what is called Rasanga Seva. It means when you talk with devotees, talk with them about Krishna conscious subject matters. Yes. This will make the association of devotees highly, highly blissful. Now I want to end by saying that the most powerful means of association of all these which I have stated, talking Harikatha, giving them eatables or Lakshmi, or associating with them, or conversing with them, of all these things amongst devotees, service to devotees is most powerful and most efficient. Lord Chaitanya has given the example. When Lord Chaitanya took his diksha in Gaya and came back to Navadvip, he went to the Vaishnavas. He said, give me your clothes. I want to wash your clothes. Then he washed the clothes and wrung the clothes. And then he dried it and he put them together. And the Vaishnava said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You will ruin us. They were totally disturbed. But Lord Chaitanya answered, you can give me Krishna bhajan only when I serve the servants of Lord Krishna. Then Lord Krishna will give his mercy to me. When I serve all of you, then I will get Krishna bhakti. This is how a devotee tries to act in the association of devotees. And in this way, he will get the wonderful effects of sadhu sangha. By the association of sadhu sangha, we should make proper advancement. This will only be possible if we open the doors to our heart and begin to associate with the devotees on a personal platform by conversing with them, showing them our friendliness, and then also do personal service to them. When you do this, following the example of Mahaprabhu, the great master, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will get life. Life will come into you. We don't serve devotees. We are lifeless. We are dead in our lives. And the mercy which we are screaming for so desperately will not come as quick as we would like it to come. So this is a festival of sadhu sangha. I remember when the Kumbh Mela started in India, Srila Prabhupada was interviewed by a reporter and he was asked, what is the purpose of this festival? In this festival, 20 million people came together. 20 million. This is so small, it is almost not so big as 20 million people. So Prabhupada was asked, what is the purpose? And he said, sadhu sangha. So I also want to say today at the first evening of the festival, this is the purpose of this festival, sadhu sangha. Try to make the experiment and see how your life will change. Hare Krishna. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. So do you have any further questions on this subject matter? Interesting. when you are friendly, then no one will tell you anything. When you are friendly, you will get a friend. And when you have a friend, he will help you. What we do is, when we are with a real friend, we ask him for feedback. Please, can you tell me? How do you perceive my way of life? And the devotee will tell him. Oh, yeah. This and that. You will get friendly. You will get feedback when you ask for it. So then it's not so painful. Sometimes devotees are afraid to ask for feedback because they think that maybe it's not. I will hear something which is not so nice. You can ask. Please ask me what I should continue doing. What should I change a little bit? And what should I stop doing? Well, then you get a little bit encouraged by what you should continue doing. Oh, eat prasadam. Continue with prasadam. There is a nice film, Nimai of Nadia, and there is a scene. It says, "My dear Lord, the sufferings of the people become tears in your eyes. But you said the Lord is too transcendental, so he has not so much to do with the world of our suffering." See, this is just a way of saying how important it is to take shelter of devotees, because the mercy of the Lord travels in the heart of a devotee. There is a very interesting discussion in one work of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, where Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur asked the question, does Krishna really hear our prayers? Because he's engaged in his divine pastimes. He's, thinking of how to steal the butter of the gopis, and how to. And we hear also that he is sometimes forgetting that he is God. When Mother Yashoda comes with a stick to punish him, "You have stolen again the butter." Then the Lord cries, but these tears are not, like the actor's tears, who put some glycerin in his eyes, or whatever it is, so that some water comes. Krishna really is afraid. It's not a show. In other words, Krishna really forgets that he is the all-powerful God who from where all the universes come. So then does Krishna hear our prayers, which are directed to the Supreme Lord, or is he just, because he has forgotten momentarily, he has forgotten that he is the Lord, it doesn't even feel addressed. We sometimes have this when initiations are given, and you call someone with his initiated name, Krishna Das, but he has forgotten that he is Krishna Das. He still thinks he is Herman. Or Milovan, or whatever. When I tell you about Itakura, I ask the question, does Krishna, who's engaged in all these pastimes, really, he doesn't act as the Lord any longer? Does he hear our prayers? Does he relate our prayers to him? He gives the answer, yes, Krishna has forgotten that he is the Lord, but he is all-knowing at the same time, and therefore he hears our prayers. It's inconceivable. So yes, the Lord is an ocean of mercy. Don't worry about that. But it's just the way of a philosophical way of approaching why we must go through the devotees, really, to go to God. Okay, other questions? Very much. Being friendly to each other. Neophyte or young devotees who are friendly to each other, says Gopal, may not be on the transcendental platform. So what is the benefit of their friendliness to each other? I think it's a benefit of general encouragement. Do you sometimes feel also encouraged if someone is friendly to you? Sometimes you feel like, oh, finally something in my life, you know. Friendliness is very encouraging, but if we are unfriendly, that's very discouraging. We all need someone who's a little friendly to us. We are human. See, sometimes we forget this in spiritual movement because we stress so much these high spiritual principles. But if, as human beings, we are wrecks, if we are wrecks, you know, it means very disturbed on the human level, then it's difficult to engage in spiritual life. So, general friendliness. I was thinking today about this. Shrishtikata and me were going in the Karuna Bhavan, and then we met one person from Avantoya who had a message, a letter to give to Puru Prabhu. And he was looking for some, he was just totally lost and looked at all these fantastic looking Vaishnavas. You know, for him it looked like a fantasy movie, most probably. And you know, the way they were dressed and they talked, and one was falling on the floor and then the next one, and you know, and all of that. And I saw this and I stopped and said, can I help you? And he said, I have this letter for this Peter Gröninger. He only knows the passport name. Who can I give this letter to? And that you, I said, you are highly fascinated by the people here, right? Yes, you could say so. And I said, well, there will be soon two birthdays. And they have come for two birthdays. Ah, birthdays. She could relate to this. Two birthdays at once? Yes! Minimum! and then I asked him for the weather, what is his weather prognosis, because that's his level he is on. he talked a little friendly and he felt like, wonderful, I take this letter and yes, when can I come next time? Sunday. This is a little busy Sunday, but this is emotional food. We need food. Hare Krishna, any other questions? Yes, when can we go to bed, Sachinathan Swami? Now, I think we should stop here because it's 9:15. Let me give you just a few tips for your spiritual house apotheke, for your private, pharmacy. Take enough rest. It's very important. Be careful going outside when you have sweated in the kirtan, because this Goloka Dham weather is really intense when the sun is not out. And please remember sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sadhu sarva shastra koya. The scriptures say we should have sadhu sangha. Make this your personal high point in sadhu sangha. Try to serve the devotees. Maybe you can wring out their clothes. and in this way, I think we should try to make this festival, you know, whenever someone says to us, can you do here something, can you do there something? Yes, 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 yes. We should be the servants of the Vaishnavas, and then it will become unforgettable, and we will attract a few more devotees to come to participate. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari.